we'd like to take our seats. Brother Daniel Sharkovich has asked us to open this portion with the use of hymn number 214. 214, we'll sing all the verses, rise at the last verse, and Brother Greg Gowerlick will open with a word of prayer. 214, only waiting.
Our dear loving and merciful Heavenly Father, we once again do approach you at the end of this day of convention, this last session, thanking you for your manifold blessings upon us, dear Father, especially recognizing the season of the year that we are in, respect to the sacrifice, the provision of thy dear Son, and the ultimate joy it will have for the world in the future. We pray, dear Father, now for thy blessing of Brother Daniel as he offers to us his representations and prayers and offerings, sayings and song, that ultimately it will be receptive in our minds and in our forgiveness where we come short of doing your will. Pray for our blessing, for thy blessing on our brethren the world over as they strive to serve in the vineyard. We pray for this all and ask it in Jesus' dear name.
Brethren, we're happy to have Brother Daniel here and appreciate his preparations on our behalf for this Vesper service. And his theme for us at this time is simply the heart. The heart. Brother Daniel.
Thank you, Brother David. I'm sure that we are all enjoying beautiful messages, and we are enjoying the messages that brethren has prepared for us. And now towards the end of the day, we want to praise our Heavenly Father by participating in the praises together. When we first received the program for Winnipeg Convention, I learned that I will be doing the Vesper service, and I simply panicked. I didn't know what to do. So when I don't know what to do, I usually like to employ other people to help me. So since then, Sister Ruth every Sunday brought funeral poems. Sister Bernard brought some poems. I have received more tapes of Vesper service than I ever knew they exist. So this whole process became quite uniting and bonding process. But the cutest story was when Sister Joyce brought me this tape of a Vesper service, and she said, "You should listen to this brother. He was so nervous." I didn't know what she meant by this, but I guess she wanted me to feel better, that it's okay to be nervous. And Sister Joyce prepared the selection of the hymns for tonight. Now, we all know that hymns have this beautiful quality because they are like double prayers. We praise our Heavenly Father not only with our words, but we praise Him with music. So when I was listening to those tapes and doing my preparation, I learned that Vesper service simply means that we will be worshiping our Heavenly Father by spoken words, by singing, by praising Him through our hearts. And when I got into the study and preparation, I started preparing on the convention theme, which was the prayers and waiting. And then I realized that the songs in the night theme will be more suitable, perhaps, for this evening. So that will be the theme of our Vesper service tonight, which is the songs in the night. And I would like to ask Brother Miles to come forward and read it to us, the songs in the night.
Not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. The heart represents the will, the intentions. The will must be kept true and centered in God, but it is the governing power of the whole man. Yet, though the will is the controlling power of man, it is also subject to influences. If the thoughts be impure, unjust, or unholy, the power of the will becomes more and more impaired. Hence, the wisdom of the admonition of the apostle as to what should be the character of our thoughts. And those who are striving to perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord, to adorn themselves with the beauty of holiness, the thoughts must not be neglected and permitted to browse in every pasture, but must be disciplined to feed upon pure and healthful food.
Thank you. We just participated in Lord's Memorial. As a part of preparation for the evening, we were doing searching of our hearts, cleansing of our hearts. We were searching the depths of our hearts and the corners of our hearts, finding who we are and how are we pleasing our Heavenly Father. Our life is a constant transformation of our hearts. Every year we go to this place where we find who we are and we sort of realign our direction. One of my personal favorite scriptures is 1 Samuel 16:7, which reads, "For the Lord's view is not as man's. Man takes note of the outer form, but the Lord sees the heart." It is my personal favorite for a very simple reason, that back home in Poland when I was a deacon, we had those mini talks that we're supposed to prepare from time to time, and this was my first subject I spoke on. So that's, since then, this is a bit of a, I have a soft spot for this scripture. But this scripture reveals the true mind of God, how He sees us. When we look in the mirror, we either like ourselves or we don't like ourselves. We look in the mirror and the mirror speaks back to us. We have to look in the mirror of our hearts as well, because there is a reflection that takes who we are and combines what we would like to be, and that's what is looking back at us. In Acts 13:22, we find this beautiful scripture. "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who shall do my will." When we think about the heart, we associate the simple word with certain images, with certain people that have influenced our life. When we look at the scriptures, David definitely is one of the first one who comes to our mind when we think about heart. Especially that he was man according to God's heart. What was in this man that he has been honored with such a high esteem? What was in this man that others wanted to follow him, that wanted to go and die for him as a king? What can we learn from this man? David had this beautiful gift that he was able to search his heart and say things as they were. He didn't found too many hiding places. He revealed his heart to us. That's why we can relate to it so nicely. And I wanted to ask Jesse to come forward and read for us parts of Psalm 51.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done that which is evil in thy sight, that thou may be justified when thou speak, and be clear when thou judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me to know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. With the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me."
Thank you. I was always fascinated with David. And I never got tired of reading this part that says, "Create in me a clean heart of God and renew a right spirit within me." I can read over and over those words, and every time I read is this warmth and this confidence that comes into my heart. I was always amazed with this man, how he was able to discover the little things of life and present them to us, and things which make sense to us. I think David was mainly in the search of purity. He was searching his heart to find what is pure in it and find the parts which he can cleanse. He wasn't afraid to see the true self in his heart. He was aware that the little things will reveal the true self or will reveal how we are in the great things as well. But those little things, those little particles, is hard to discover because they are so little. Things which are humble, things which are of small stature, are not very easy to be noticed. We can't see them with our eyes so easily. We like to talk about great things. We take pride in great things. But our life is made of small things. Our life is made of simple things. And in simple ways, we express ourselves to others. And the secrets of our hearts are very sacred to our Heavenly Father. We would like to sing together hymn number 215, The Cleansing Stream. And this is where I invite all of you to participate. Otherwise, I will perform solo, which my daughter Sarah doesn't think is a good idea.
Thank you.
cleansing stream that cleanses our hearts. David's son Solomon wrote those things in Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When we think about heart, we cannot help to think about certain qualities that the heart possesses. The first quality that comes to our mind is love. And again, there are certain images which are attached to that quality when we think about love. We'll read Matthew 26. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was. So they made him supper there, and Mary and Martha was serving. But Lazarus was among those who were seated with him at table. Then Mary, taking a pound of perfume, oil of great value, put it on the feet of Jesus and made them dry with her hair. Then the house became full of smell of perfumes. Sweet senses has filled the room. In silence, Martha and Lazarus was watching their sister slowly massaging the tired feet of their friend. Mary gently opened the alabaster box and poured out the precious spikenard perfumes. Then she has wiped them from his feet with her beautiful black hair. She wanted this precious oil to stay on her hair forever. It was her way to express her feelings of her heart in that evening. She knew that in a short while her master must depart. She knew that it's very little time to love him. She knew she has to hurry up to serve him, knowing that tomorrow perhaps may be too late. Precious perfumes of her affections, good wishes, kindness, and love towards all in the house, but especially towards the master. It takes 400 full-grown roses to make 1 ounce of this precious perfume. Mary's love was so intense, was so great that she didn't count the cost. The love was so intense that she had to express it, and this was her way of expressing it. Our Lord had one wish. His wish was that since then, every time this gospel, this good tiding will be said, will be mentioned, that Mary's act will also be teached. That her devotion and her affections will be spoken of. It is a precious oil, because it cannot be gathered together very fast. You cannot produce this oil very quickly. It requires patience and perseverance in well-doing to be able to be filled with the fullness of God. We read in Ephesians 3:16 that Christ may have his place in our hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and based in love. Sweet oil was poured on the feet of the Master. The perfume of Mary's active love, kindness, and adoration has come down through the ages, filling the entire church with a sweet odor of devotion, illustrating the greatest and the most noble qualities of loving heart. Mary's act inspires us to announce the brethren with a kindly word, with our loving sympathies, with our tender expressions, while they are still here. We have to hurry up to express our depths of our heart before they may reach the end of their journey. Do not keep your alabaster box of love and tenderness sealed up for later. You must open it tonight. We have to hurry up to love to learn to learn to love others. We want to copy the act of Mary and her gesture of love. We'll sing together hymn number 165, Love Divine. And then I would like to ask Brother Robert to come forward and read for us a few words. It's hymn number 165.
Love is like a muscle. If we don't use it, it atrophies. The only sure way to conquer an enemy is to make him your friend. Love is friendship set on fire. Love is a game that all can play and no one loses. It is better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. The best gifts are tied with the heartstrings. A wise man values not so much the gift of the lover as the love of the giver. Love is not big-headed, it is big-hearted. Our preoccupation with what we can do for others can distract us from giving the best gift we have, ourselves. Love is best explained by actions, so others can see what it is by what we do. Love looks through a telescope, not a microscope. Love with strings attached is self-love. Self-giving love is the best antidote for loneliness. In a true Christian, love and consideration should be the rule, not the exception. Love your neighbor, yet pull not down your hedge. Love grows through the showing of appreciation and dies without it. Love looks not with the eyes, but with the heart. More precious is love tested in the fire of deepest trouble than trophies won by pride. As like begets like, so love begets love. Communicating love takes time and thoughtfulness. Love without work is nothing but a sentiment. Honest affection, given or received, sweetens our life. Love without expecting reward is a reward in itself, and it creates no disappointment. Love is the divine alchemy of life, transforming all duties into privileges and all responsibilities into joy. To love for the sake of being loved is human, but to love for the sake of loving is angelic.
Thank you.
The love in action. I ask Sister Pam Lacko to sing a hymn solo. She asked me if she can put the quartet together. Now I think there is a choir put together. So I would like to invite the Winnipeg Convention 204 Choir to perform for us two hymns. I'm not too sure in which order they will be performed, but one of them is called Higher Ground, and is not in our hymn books. And the second hymn is Face to Face, which is part of our hymn book. Thank you. So you can see how the qualities of our hearts multiply themselves. Started with Sister Pam, four, now we have a group. And then Sister Gabriel almost tried the band, which I didn't intend it. Jeremiah 17:10. I, Yahweh, search the mind. I try the heart, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. A few years ago, I wanted to be a boat captain, and I took my family on a boat ride on this lake. It started as a nice and peaceful day. We enjoy quite a pleasant half of the day. But on the way back, there was a sudden storm and a very fearful storm, in fact. We were quite afraid. We thought we will sink. And then this big boat came and rescued us. It was a dreadful experience which taught us a few things. First thing, I was amazed to see little Ashley, who was no more than two, three years old. She was praying in the midst of that storm. But in myself, I found this one quality that I didn't know that exists, which is the will to live, the desire to live and survive, to do anything that we can to survive. And the will is another quality that is a part of our heart. It is a quality that our Lord has given to us and wants us to exercise through different trials and different tribulations we encounter. I wanted to ask David to come forward and read for us the poem.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Will your anchor hold in the straits of fear, when the breakers roll and the reef is near? While the surges rage and the wild winds blow, shall the angry waves then your bark o'erflow? Will your anchor hold in the floods of death, when the waters cold chill your latest breath? On the rising tide you can never fail, while your anchor holds within the veil.
Like our choir to perform one more hymn for us, hymn number 247 of the Blue Hymn Books, 247A, Take Time to Be Holy.
Thank you.
thank you very much for your preparation and for the beautiful sounds. Another quality of our heart is humbleness. Psalm 44:21. God knows the secrets of your heart. Most of you know new brother Charlie Chambers. And when I came to Vancouver, he told this little story that I remember and I think will be with me till the rest of my life. A man was searching for someone who can perform reading the Psalm of 23. And he went to this place and there was this actor, this professional performer who read this beautiful psalm to him. And he did just beautiful job, but he wasn't quite satisfied. He saw there this old man sitting in the corner. And he asked him if he would read the Psalm 23. The old man came and slowly read the Psalm 23. And the man has chosen him because he said that that old man, that the performer, knew the psalm very well, but the old man knew the shepherd. I wanted to ask Brother Dustin to come forward and read for us thoughts along the line of humbleness. But in the meantime, I wanted to ask some of you to come forward and read for us the Psalm 23. And I haven't asked anyone to do this before. So if one of you feels compelled to read for us the Psalm 23, I would like you to come forward and read for us after Brother Dustin will finish his reading.
Himself. The ear of barley that bears the richest grain always hangs the lowest. Humility is making a right estimate of oneself. To have to eat your own words may prove to be a healthy diet. Humility is the basis for all other virtues. Everyone is trying to accomplish something big, not realizing that life is made up of many little things. Where boasting ends, true dignity begins. In the service of the Lord, servant and apron go together. Better to be a humble nobody than a proud somebody. When the world thinks that a man is won, the struggle's then just begun. A humble, frank admission of not knowing the answer to a question opens the admission of light. He stands tallest who stoops to help others. Humility is a strange thing. The minute you think you've got it, you've lost it. A humble person seeks no credit, nor seeks a compliment for work well done. It is not the lofty sail, but the unseen wind that moves the ship. Dignity has no room for boasting and exaggeration. Great men never feel great. Small men never feel small. Humility is the prerequisite for eternal exaltation.
Thank you. Who would like to read the Psalm 23? If not, then we'll ask Levi to come forward and read for us some a passage from Luke chapter 7 verses 37 and 38 and then verses from 44 to 47. And if you still want to read the Psalm 23, we will still accommodate this later on.
When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I come into your house. You do not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You do not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You do not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little love, little loves little."
Thank you.
Another similar story to the one we read at the beginning. A woman came and with tears has anointed the feet of our Master. In our life, we should not be afraid of fears. And we should not be afraid of tears. We should not shy away from tears. In tears, there is something very unique and very difficult to describe, since the tears have this quality that they cleanse our hearts. When we cry in the presence of another person, we become one with that person. We should not be afraid of feelings in our life, and we should not be afraid of expressing them to others. We should not be afraid of the simple word, "I need you, I need your friendship." This simple word is hidden deep in our hearts, and we are so ashamed to reveal it. We should, in secrets of our hearts, reveal ourselves to the Lord. And it's nothing wrong to reveal yourself to others. I wanted to come forward some of our youngest members of the convention, which is Ashley and her two friends, which names I have forgotten, Cassandra and someone else, Evelina, and they will read for us three short sentences. Evelina will read for us a passage from a reprint that deals with the ultimate quality of the heart, which is the purity of the heart, and is from reprint 5004.
Window through which we may see God is purity of heart. We cannot, while in the flesh, attain absolute purity in thought, word, and deed. But we can have heart purity, pureness of intention and desire. One such as have this heart condition may hope to attain the kingdom honors and to see him whom no human has seen, neither can see. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
And Cassandra will read
heart.
The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen nor touched, but are felt in the heart. Some people can see at a glance what others cannot see. With searchlights and telescopes, a right heart is better than a correct head. The heart has its own reason, which reason knows nothing of.
Ashley will read about smile.
A smile is a light in the window of a face, showing that the heart is at home. All people smile in the same language. What sunshine is to flowers, your smile is to others. A smile costs you nothing, but it is worth a great deal to those who are lifted up by it. You will never offend a person by returning a smile. Most smiles are started by another's smile.
Thank you. Thank you for your sweet voices, and for your honesty, and for your purity. And when I look at children, I'm always amazed how quickly is their world expanding, how much energy they have, how much entertainment they need, how quickly they get bored, and how curious they are. They want to explore and expand. Nothing is ever enough. They never stop laughing, and they are very quickly to cry. But when we get older, it seems like this process is in reverse. We become more and more set in our ways. We are not so excited about changes. In fact, we are afraid of them. We prefer things that we know well, and we prefer the state of standstill. We are very careful with expanding our new possibilities. We prefer places which are cozy and familiar to us. We drive slower. We don't even talk too much. We ask very less questions than children do. When I see this phenomenon, I'm asking myself, will my heart ever stop expanding? We should never lose the speed of our love and forgiveness, the speed of our will and humbleness. We should never stop the possibilities of our heart, because through your heart is possible to stay young always. Thank you.
Well, we thank Brother Daniel for his preparations on the heart, and we trust that we have gained something in looking inside for ourselves to see the importance of the heart, our Heavenly Father, and some ways perhaps of changing. I think it's something we want to do, change for the better, change more into the likeness of our Master. Well, brethren, we come to the end of this day of convention, just before our meal, and we invite everybody to partake of the meal together and continue our fellowship. We just have a couple of announcements. First of all, there is a CO committee sign-up sheet which is on the book table. Brother John Blackwell, Brother Barry, encourage everybody to sign that sign-up sheet, those of the COs in the group that would like to have that sent to them afterwards on their file. So there is a sign-up sheet on the side. Also, for the questions on the discourses, please, if you have any questions on any of the discourses, any of the services, submit them in the box at the front, and we'll be distributing that to the brethren, I guess, for review tonight and also tomorrow. We'll do more discourses tomorrow. So that's up front. And also, for tomorrow, we begin at 9 o'clock. It would be good to see everybody here at 7:45. And so we're ready to begin together the day of in the Lord's service, of serving one another, and experiencing whatever lessons and admonitions and encouragements the Lord has for us at that time. And Brother Greg Carpenter will be your chairman tomorrow morning. So now we'd like to close, and I think Brother Daniel had 267 is lined up for us. 267, we'll sing all those verses. We already read the songs in the night as part of the service earlier, so we will omit that at this time. We'll just sing 267, rise in the last verse, and then ask Brother Daniel to conclude with a word of prayer and ask a blessing upon the temple.
Great loving Father, we ask you to come to our hearts and stay with us tonight and stay with us in our life. We ask that our hearts will not stop expanding, but that we may grow and be more pleasing to you. We ask you that you will inspire us with your Holy Spirit, that you will teach us conversation with others, that they might be beneficial to us and holy to you. This time we ask your blessing upon the evening meal and upon our fellowship, that in everything that we do and say will glorify thy name. We pray those things and give you praises in Jesus' precious name. Amen.